I want you now to put yourself in an attitude to receive the truth. And don't shut the door to what we're going to say. Leave yourself, leave the door open so the Lord can show you if you are a king worshiper. Now, what was wrong with Cain and Abel? He never looked at either one as far as the scripture said then. He looked at the offering. He's not looking at you today. He's looking at your offering to see whether you're making an acceptable offering. And what your offering will determine what you are. He didn't need to look at Cain or Abel. He knew them by their offering. I don't need to look at you when I see your offering. I'll say this to you in my 50 years on the battlefront, near that, as far as many more years in Christ before then, I have never yet seen a genuine worshiper making an acceptable offering that you didn't know and couldn't trust. Now, you can trust anyone who whole hope is that acceptable offering, I'll tell you about it. But if they're not making an acceptable offering, you can't trust them, you can't depend on them, I don't care what they think of themselves. Hence, will you be betrayed by your own loved ones? That depends. Now, the first murder came by a worshiper, son of worship. He was the murderer. And he killed a fellow worshiper. And there isn't a more dangerous person than these worshipers who have gone in the way of Cain, offering themselves and their own good works. Now, first, Cain made an offering of the fruits of a cursed earth. And when God had cursed the thing, go offer that to him as your salvation. It's under a curse too, like you. Now, remember that. What Cain offered was something he produced by hard work. And let me say to all of you people who are a member of a church that has been sound, fundamental, ever since I have known it, and who have continually eliminated such as were in open rebellion, but there are great multitudes yet who are going in the ways of Cain, who are coming, offering what they've been doing and what they are, just as Cain offered the fruits that he had produced and worked hard to produce. And you say, well, certainly you ought to have some consideration. A man that'll work as hard as I have. I'm a member of this church. I've joined the church, yes. So was Billy Graham when he was converted in my meeting in North Carolina. He was a member of the church. And Marl and Queen, I just read his experiences told in his latest book. And when he came down there and when I pointed my finger right out at him, he said, well, I don't, of course the Lord told him I was pointing at him. And he resented it, got mad when I referred to him being a sinner. Well, I didn't refer to him, I didn't know he was there. But the Lord did. I want you to be right where he was. If you are giving the Lord an offering he's not accepting, don't you want to know it? If any of you today are not saved, do you want to know it? If you have not accepted the Lord, do you want to know it? How many will say, I want to know the facts regardless, and I want the Lord to tell me? Can you say that? If so, lift your hand right now. I want to know if I'm not saved, I want to know it. If I'm not offering acceptable offering, I want to know it. I don't care what it costs me, but I want to know the truth. How many of you can say that honestly? I didn't like that halfway left of the, that Laodicean way of voting there. Either hot or cold, which are you? If you're not acceptable in heaven, do you want to know it before it's too late? How many of you do? I do. Lift your hand right now. Very well. Remember, the Lord is not going to show you unless you're willing to do. His offering was the fruits of a cursed earth. And so is your nature cursed. Old Adam is under a curse. You watch me. Old Adam is under a curse. And there isn't anything Adam can do God will accept. Not anything. There is no good thing in the flesh, said the Apostle Paul. He ought to know, for he was certainly a most religious man before he was saved. He was the most religious man of his day. In fact, he looked like he was more religious before he was saved than after, if you look at him through the eyes of flesh. He was very religious then. But after he was saved, he was a spectacular man. And they knew that he was cursed of God because of what had befallen him. Now, it depends altogether on what kind of glasses he wears, how things are going to look. Another thing, he was also offering his good deeds. Abel was. Are you offering your good deeds? Are you? You say, well, I've been a faithful Sunday school teacher. I've been a faithful member of this church. I've been loyal to the truth. I'm fundamental. I'm orthodox. I try to live right. I'm trying to do the best I can. I don't want anything else I can do. But that is not acceptable to the Lord. That's what the old man Adam is doing. And you had just as well try to buy this building with a nickel as to buy, and even that's a very poor illustration, as to buy salvation with any of your good deeds or any of your offerings that you are making. Another thing, you need not offer your experience. Well, Mr. Ham, I was saved. I was just as happy. That doesn't mean a thing in the world. You can believe a lie, brother, and rejoice about it. For instance, Isaac believed a lie. He thought he was blessing Esau, but he was blessing Jacob. Why? He trusted in what he was feeling instead of what he heard. And you may get a great feeling. I've known people to pray until they got happy, got shouting, and they say, I know I'm saved now because I was so happy, but my friend, tomorrow you may be so unhappy that you'll say, I guess I've lost it. Well, I hope you have, brother, if it's here. Because you may make a mistake and trust an experience, or trust your own offering, or trust something that you felt, or something you're doing. Brother, that is a Cain worshiper. And you're not offering an acceptable sacrifice. Another thing, there's no need of you offering anything that's bloodless. Now, let's get this clear in your mind. Cain's offering had not shed any blood. He may have cut the flowers and brought the vegetables and brought the fruit and brought everything that he could get, but still, there wasn't a drop of blood on it. And the Lord is not going to accept any kind of an offering that isn't bloody. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, in order that you may see the difference, let's look at Abel's offering. Abel's offering, first of all, was there between him and God. He couldn't get to God. Why? Death separates. It was a dead lamb. And death separates every man in this world from God. There is absolutely no approach except you come by death. There is death between God and you. There's a bloody lamb. And when I look at that, I see the mystery of the cross. If I didn't have any other scripture except this I'm using as my message today, I could see all the mystery of the cross. I'd say the greatest miracle today is this book. Oh, that we could only realize and understand that the greatest miracle that's ever been in all creation was not the making of planets and bringing them into existence, nor was it the resurrection of Lazarus, nor the rest of us, human being. The greatest miracle is when a man who, like Abel, has gone down the centuries and stood looking to God and sees the cross with Jesus Christ hanging on it, and has the revelation, the light that the dying sin of the deep had. When he said, this man's done nothing amiss. You and I are guilty. He acknowledged that there wasn't a thing that put Jesus Christ on the cross except his own sins. And when Abel came and said, I can't get to you, I'm offering this lamb. And that not only Abel's offering speaks, it tells all about Abel. He also said, I believe that I can approach God today by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now let's get certain things clear. God can see in your heart that people who were behind the blood-stained doorposts in Egypt were not any better than the people in the house of Pharaoh. And Cain and Abel were both religious. They were both sons of fallen Adam. I was born of a father who was a Christian and a minister. But when I was born in the flesh, he bequeathed to me what he was in the flesh, in the likeness of Adam, through my father, in my natural birth. And if there isn't something else to offer except your good works, your good birth, and your good deeds, that you're a religious man and trying to do the best thing I can and trying to live up to it, my friend, there is no salvation for a person, and God can look in your heart and tell what you're offering. He can tell when you turn for some kind of comfort to think of the good deeds you've done. How long I've been a member of the church. How long I've been trying to do the best I could. How much I've given. And God sees in your heart and sees that your offering is not acceptable. And hence, Abel's offering was acceptable because it revealed and gave us the picture of the death of Jesus on the cross and gave us what Abel believed, that death separated God and him, that he could approach God through a death of another, a death of a substitute, that God would accept that lamb's death instead of his. And the reason I know God is not going to put me to death, he said, Jesus Christ, if you offer him as a substitute of your death, then he can't put me to death.
Father, in these words first, and then a call for something even greater. He loves us too well to forsake us, or give us one trial too much. All his people have been dearly purchased, and Satan can never claim such. By and by we shall see him and praise him in the city of unending day.
Amen.
Then the toils of this road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Then the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Lord, set us on fire for thee. You have to do it. May they see the demonstration of the period of the Spirit of God, not, O Lord, because of some secondary matters, but because of the great issue. Christ is being exalted and people are being saved. Right now, Lord, these men, may they follow the pastor with all the earnestness of his soul as he's laid himself and you on the altar. And Lord, you've kept him here physically. Now you've given him a spiritual experience that ought to mark and will mark the beginning of the greatest of all his testimonies and witnesses by our Savior. And now, Lord, take these men and take these people that are in this place today, and Father, may not one person fail to move. May they not stay where they are. We ask in Jesus' name.
Let's all stand.